Hallelujah. You know what? Everybody is always talking about being so tired and having no strength. And I want us just to we're gonna make these confessions, okay? And I want you to stand up and we'll make these confessions. I know it's kind of hard to pass that basket when you're standing, but that's okay. Hallelujah. I want you to say, I believe I receive my spirit build up strong. Jesus is my strength. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I love you, O Lord, my strength. You have girded me with strength. Therefore, I go from strength to strength. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He is my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, you are my strength and my shield. Lord, today I keep your word before my eyes. I search your word and feed my spirit. My spirit being with your life. I open my heart and my mind to you. If I have aught against any, sir, forgive me. I forgive. Your words are health. They're medicine to all my flesh, to my mind, to my body, to my finances, to my family. In Jesus' name. Your words are peace to my mind. Feed me, Lord. I receive. Okay, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just welcome all of you here. I'm so glad you came. I want you to go to Romans 6:14, and Tim will have it up there. And Tim, I'm calling this, we are not limited. Take what's yours. Hallelujah. In Romans 6:14, the Amplified, it says, for sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you. Say that. Sin shall not exert dominion over me. Since now you're not under the law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy. Are you hearing that? See, sin shall no longer exert dominion over you since you're not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Say, I'm no longer under the law, but I'm under grace. See, the law gives you a sin consciousness. The law causes a man to be conscious of his sins. And if you're conscious of your sins, you can't receive from God like he wants you to. You understand that? If you got something in your life standing there, man, it'll keep you from getting what you need from God because you feel condemnation. See, I want to teach you this until you get the fact that you've been made righteous and you're no longer under guilt and condemnation. Too long the church has struggled trying to get good enough to receive from God. Anybody ever been there? Nobody but me, huh? Me and this one man here. Yeah. See, you can never be good enough to get anything from God. Are you hearing me? You cannot be good enough to get anything from God. You can never achieve perfection on your own. Do you understand that? Before you get to the coffee pot in the morning, you've already done something or thought something or whatever. I didn't get myself saved, and I can't keep myself saved. Now, religion does not like this. If you're religious, your religious mind will block this from your understanding, and you won't receive anything from this teaching. Remember last week, some of you were here when I showed you from Mark 4 where the thief will take the word from you, and what you don't understand will be snatched from you. So I want you to understand this and understand it from the word. See, the Lord woke me up the other night, and he gave me a scripture, and I've been thinking about it and meditating on it ever since. I shared it Sunday morning. It's Hebrews 10:14, and it's in the Amplified. I mean, to tell you, if this don't light your fire, your wood is completely wet. For by a single offering, one single offering, he has forever, completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. Come on, somebody better holler. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory. I'm telling you, it says by a single offering, he has forever, completely cleansed and perfected. He didn't just cleanse you, but he perfected you. He said, I will perfect that which concerneth you. And also, now look at the next verse. And also, the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to us in confirmation of this. Do you see that? I mean, Jesus, he forever perfected us, cleansed us, made us holy, made us righteous. And then the Holy Spirit just said, amen. Don't you love it? Hallelujah. He adds his testimony. He said, amen. Hallelujah. For having said, this is the agreement, the testament, the covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, saith the Lord. And this is what God said he's going to do in these days. I'll imprint my laws upon your heart. Now, when you do wrong, you don't have to have anybody tell you you did wrong, do you? Mm-mm, you know it. I'll imprint my laws upon your heart, and I will inscribe them on their minds. Hallelujah. He has put that in you, on their utmost thoughts and understanding. Now, you understand that? What you understand, what you don't understand, the devil can take. But the Spirit said, I'll put it on your understanding. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Come on. Then he goes on to say, and their sins and their lawbreaking, I will remember no more. God doesn't remember it. If he remembers it no more, then why should you? Quit bringing it up. He's tired of hearing about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why does he say, I will forget the things? You know, he does not say, I will forget the things they did in the past. He said, their sins, I will remember no more. Their sins. What sins? Past, present, future. Their sins. He didn't say, your past sins, I'll remember no more. Your present or your future. He said, your sins. Oh, glory. Come on. This ought to excite you, people. I'm going to tell you something. Isn't that what it says? How'd we miss it all these years? Hallelujah. What sins? He said, your sins. He does not remember my sins. Okay, if he don't remember them, then why don't we just go out and sin all we want? People say, well, you better not teach this. People just take it, you know, as a license to sin. I've told you a lot of times you'll sin without a license. You know what? How many of you, since you got saved, want to go and sin? I'm not talking about having a little problem with your flesh. Sometimes we have a little problem with our flesh. But listen, people, I'm not looking for a way to sin. I hate it. There's some things in my life that sometimes crop up there. And you know what? I hate them. I hate them. I don't want them there. Hallelujah. Do you ever just think bad thoughts and you think, Lord, I don't want to do that? You know, or you judge somebody or you say something pop off your mouth when you should have kept it shut. Did you like that? Just think that's wonderful. Oh, I'll see if I can do that some more. Since I'm forgiven, I'll just do that all I want to. No, you know what? When we love God, we want to please him. Hallelujah. See, when we practice sin after we're saved, we open doors to the demonic for them to come in and take over our lives, and not only ours, but future generations. Just say you get into adultery or you steal something after you're saved. You need to repent and cast those demons you allowed to come in with your disobedience. You need to cast them out. Otherwise, they'll stay in for generations and disrupt your children's life and your children's children, and they'll go right on the line. Do you see that when you sin, you open doors? And it brings condemnation. And listen, God said this to me the other day. Condemnation will block your ability to believe me for healing. Do you hear me? Condemnation will block your ability to believe God for healing. You know, if you feel condemned, you may think, well, I can believe God anyway, but you know what? It'll block it. Now, I want to inject something here. I know I'm talking to you about who you are, but primarily this is a healing school, and almost everything I teach leads back to healing. How many of you know that? Good to see you, kids. God bless you. Hallelujah. But, you know, when you're believing for a healing and your faith is focused on your healing, your attention will be prone to stay on the problem. You know, it will. You'll have to tell your mind there's nothing wrong. You need to get a picture of that healing and let your mind, not just your spirit, see it healed. Not just your spirit, you believe it's, get this mind. He said he brought understanding to your mind, didn't he? Okay, get this mind to work with you. You're going to have to do that. Hallelujah. See it healed in your mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? I got a story from Creflo Dollar, and I thought I want to share that with you. He had polyps on his vocal cords, and he studied everything about polyps. He read everything he could read. He watched movies on polyps and watched them do surgery on polyps. And he said he just watched those videos and everything, and he got to know everything there was to know about polyps. And he said that after the operation, he had to tell his mind that there was nothing else wrong with his vocal cords when it came time to use them. I thought this might help some of you. The therapist instructed him to see his voice, see him using his voice. You know, but he said he couldn't. When he tried to use it, he couldn't. And then he said she showed him a picture of his throat and his vocal cords and told him, said, look at this. It's fixed. Your voice will do what you tell it to do. Now, I thought that was great. This doctor told him, your voice will do what you tell it to do. Your body will do what you tell it to do. Hallelujah. Bless God. He said he had to completely ignore his body because when she told him to speak, he couldn't. Nothing come out. But he had to completely ignore what his body was telling him and the symptoms that were there when he couldn't talk. But when he told his mind, it's fixed, and voice, you will work, his voice came out loud and clear. Hallelujah. Now, don't that help some of you? I thought that was just tremendous. See, that's not only true with healing, it applies to everything spiritual in your life. Hallelujah. You say, she just read all those scriptures. You say to the mountain, you say to the mountain, you say to the mountain, hallelujah. You say to the problem, glory to God. Whoo, hallelujah, you say it. Glory. When you doubt and allow the problems to occupy your attention and you think you have to do something else, there just must be something else I have to do. Honey, he don't need your help. You know, glory. That's a declaration of toxic self-effort. Tell your mind it's fixed. God's taking care of that. Bless God. When you mess up, then repent and say to your body and to your mind, it's fixed. God, fix that. No, devil, you won't put anything on me. I close that door I just opened with the blood. Oh, glory. Come on. I close that door I just opened with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's fixed. And you will not put condemnation on me. And you will not put any sickness on me. Because Jesus' blood and his stripes have made me whole. Ephesians 2:8-9. This is the Amplified. For it is by the free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment. You're delivered. Let me tell you something. I haven't looked this up yet, but I heard a man say this, that the Greek word, you know, in the Bible where it says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Well, he said that word men is judgment. I got to look that up and make sure. But it makes sense. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all judgment unto me. See, that's what he did. Glory to God, you understand? He drew the judgment to him. Now, bless God, you don't have to take the judgment. You'll never be judged by God because Jesus took it for me. Hallelujah. Come on, get excited about that. Hallelujah. See, if he meant, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me, then bless God, he was lifted up. Why aren't all men drawn to him? And we thought, well, if I just lift him up, all men will come drawn. But if it's judgment, and that word, that Greek word is judgment, then he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw on judgment unto me. He has taken your judgment. Oh, glory to God. If you're happy and you know it, let your face know it and show it. Hallelujah. Don't worry about that storm. It's going to pass. I told it to. Hallelujah. I went out there and I was talking to it, and this little boy come up and he said, who are you talking to? I said, that storm right there. Hallelujah. Bless God. It said, by grace is by the free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your own faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving. See? But it is the gift of God, not because of works, nor the fulfillment of God's, of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone could possibly do. So no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. See, I can't say, well, I'm so good. You know, I'm just so good. I just don't have to worry about it. No. See, grace is free. If it's not free, it's not grace. If you've got to do something to get it, glory to God, it's not grace. You're not saved by your own efforts. You're not delivered by what you can accomplish. You're not healed by what you've earned. Hallelujah. You must accept God's free gift of grace and do something the enemy hates. Rest. You know what? The devil hates it when Christians rest. He likes us to have constant activity and keep the cares of the world in the forefront of your thinking. You know, you don't have a job. And man, things are looking bad. And everybody says the economy's gone downhill. And how in the world are you going to get a job? I'm going to tell you something. If I needed a job, God would get me one if I was the only person, if he has to create one. Come on. Hallelujah. Bless God. But the devil hates it when you rest. To be established in the blessing of the Lord, God made it critical that you enter into his rest. See, we have to rest in Jesus' finished work. The word says that your salvation also means healing. It's that word sozos. God, grace confirms that there's nothing you can do to deserve healing. You don't have to beg God to come and meet all your needs and heal your body. Jesus did all on the cross, and he wants you to trust that your needs are met. Can you do that? Not later, but receive it now. Hallelujah. Don't give your problems your attention. Just as the king, you know, a king focuses on priorities that have to be done, your attention should be on the finished work of Jesus, your highest priority, and then rest. Do you see that Jesus put us here to rule and reign? See, we haven't been taught that. I was not taught that. Hallelujah. You dog, lower than the dog, snake's belly, crawl the grass where you're supposed to be. You know, that's what we were kind of taught. God don't like you much anyway, and he's probably just waiting to hit you, so you better straighten up. Well, I tried, and the more I tried, the more I messed up. You understand? Hallelujah. Through him, we have access. We have entrance by faith into his grace and favor, but it's only through him. I had a lady come to healing school once, and she said to me, well, I can't just go through Jesus. I'll just go straight to God. And I said, you can't go straight to God. Boy, she got so angry with me, and I've never seen her back again. But I guess she found out she couldn't go straight to God. You got to go through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me except, no man comes to the Father except through me. We have to go through Jesus Christ. See, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You all know this, but you need to hear it again. Hallelujah. The Word of God will produce faith, and faith will give you access into grace. Everything has been done. It has been done. If you just knew, I'm going to tell you something. Roy said tonight, boy, Evelyn, have you changed? If it was raining like this, you wouldn't have got me to come out of my basement, much less, I'd still be there. You'd be having this by yourself because I wouldn't have been here. I was so afraid of storms that I wouldn't have went out. Roy can tell you that. I mean, I'd get him up in the middle of the night. Come on, we got to go to the basement. Evelyn, just lay still. It's not going to hurt us. Come on, we got to go to the basement. I don't want to die by myself, so come on. Hallelujah. I think, well, if I go downstairs and they all die, I don't want that. But then I was too scared to stay upstairs. I mean, I was so afraid. If you'd have been dying and going to hell next door, you just had to go to hell because I wouldn't have come across the street to help you. I was too scared. I served fear a long time, and I didn't like it, and I'm not going back there. You know, 2000, glory to God. Yeah, you can give the Lord a hand. Do you know, Roy's clapping. He gets to sleep now. Hallelujah. Do you know, praise God. I'm going to tell you, 2000, you know, when everybody's filling their bathtub with water and, you know, getting water and putting it away and all this stuff. And I thought, now, Lord, I'm not going back to fear. I'm not saving one drop of water. If you don't help me, then we're just going to be in trouble. And you see, we just sail right through that. My God will take care of me. And I cannot live in this world the way it is without having that faith that God's going to take care of me. If I wasn't saved, I'd probably be in an institution. You don't know what a screaming maniac I was. Hallelujah. Praise God. Poor Roy, he's been through a lot of stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was so scared of everything. I mean, I was scared of everything, heights and depths and getting in the closed places. And I was just scared of storms, scared of this, scared of that. And bless God, that was not a good master, and I'm not going back there. Hallelujah. Stop the fear and say, I believe God for my answer. I believe God is my way out. I believe God is my way in. Hallelujah. I believe God when he says it's already done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know what? When you're God's child, my kids, you know what? When I brought them home from the hospital, I expected to take care of them. A neighbor didn't come over and say, you know, if you don't want to take care of your kid, I'll take care of it for you. No, God gave that kid to me to take care of, and I had to take care of him. I mean, I had to provide him with, or Roy did, provide him with food and clothes. And, you know, I didn't work back then. I just took care of my kids. When God adopted me, oh, glory, come on, people, get this. When God adopted you as his child, he took you to raise, honey. Hallelujah. And he'll when he comes to your house, he'll bring a bag of groceries if you need it. Hallelujah. He will take care of you. You understand that? Hallelujah. I've been living for God for 46 years almost. And I'm going to tell you something. He had never failed me. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. But I expect him to take care of me because he said he would. He said he'd provide. Hallelujah. We had never been hungry one day. I mean, maybe for a little bit till I get it cooked or go buy it. Go to McDonald's or something. I told somebody the other day, when my youngest child got, when he left home, I got delivered from cooking. My favorite thing to make for dinner is a reservation. Hallelujah. Praise God. But God said he has a plan for me and it's good. Now, cancer is not good. Diabetes is not good. Sickness and disease are not good. So, you know, as a child of God who's been made righteous, I call the shots here. I say what he says about me. Sometimes I tell the devil, it's going to be like I say, because I say what the word says. Hallelujah. Bless God. You understand, if you'll say what the word says, it'll be like you say. Come on, say glory. See, you know what? He says that I'm to rule and reign as a king. He said, I'll not die of this thing, and I won't quit till I see the full manifestation of what God has paid for. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going in the next load, okay? Hallelujah. See, by faith, I access the free grace of God. By faith, I access my salvation. By faith, I access my healing. By faith, I access prosperity. By faith, I access a healthy family and a good marriage. Hallelujah. Refuse to touch a problem with your thought life. Refuse it. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. It'll get bigger than you are. If you don't talk to that thing in the night, it'll talk to you. It'll get you up and talk to you. See, God told us to attend to his word. And he wants, you know, attend means give it your full attention. Don't give your attention to the thing that's holding you back, the thing that's working against you. If you do that, you're allowing both faith and unbelief to reside in you. God wants you just to have your faith and let that live in your mind. The battle's in your mind, and Satan wants you to give your attention to the problem. Anything that's against God's word and what he says about you, that's what the devil wants you to think about. He said to Eve, did God say this? Did he really say? Trying to get her to question what God said. And he'll say to you, do you really think you're healed? Well, if you're so healed, how come you still got the pain? If you're so healed, why didn't that x-ray show it? Hallelujah. Well, you know what? You need to talk back to that thing. Just hang on, honey. It will. Hallelujah. Okay, if we go back to our sacrifice, Jesus, go to Hebrews 10. 1 through 5, and it'll be up there. For since the law has merely a rude outline or foreshadowing of the good things to come, instead of fully expressing those things, it can never, now this is talking about the law, it can never, by offering the same sacrifices continually, year after year, make perfect those who approach its altars. For if it were otherwise, would those circumstances or would those sacrifices not have stopped being offered? Since the worshipers had once and for all been cleansed, they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of sin. But as it is, those sacrifices annually bring fresh remembrance of the sins to be atoned for, because the blood of bulls and goats is powerless to take away sins. Do you see that? That we've been cleansed by a final sacrifice. There should therefore be no more consciousness of sin. There should not be sickness consciousness. You know what? James said, is there any sick among you? Today we'd have to say, is there anybody in here that ain't sick? Don't have something wrong with them? Isn't that the truth? Hallelujah. Look at the danger it brings to your life when you wake up every morning conscious of your sin, conscious of your faults and failures. Why not wake up thanking Jesus for what he's done for you? Oh, God, I thank you. I'm healthy. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sheltered under the shelter of your arms. Oh, glory. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And I'll have a good day today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll serve you. I'll be in your service today, God. I thank you that I'm healthy. Oh, glory. I thank you that pain can't come near me. I thank you my body's healthy. Hallelujah. I thank you that my youth is renewed as the eagle. Train your mind to get up and begin to say that. Hallelujah. Thank Jesus for what he's done. Now I want to show you some things. And I want to get part of this, and I'll finish it up in the next few weeks. But, and I realize I'm skipping back and forth, but it'll make sense, I promise. I want to show you some things about healing and how to realize that it's your body, and you can't get healing if you don't understand what's yours. And who it is that's made you whole. Now, don't you think, just what I've told you already, don't you think we ought to praise God? Don't you think we ought to worship the Lord? Haven't I given you enough to be thankful for the next month or two? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So praise and worship brings a degree of wisdom. See, we should operate effortlessly in wisdom, where we enter into that rest and tap into the intelligence of God. Because he said Jesus was made wisdom to us. Didn't he say that? And he abides in me. He said that I have the mind of Christ. Didn't he say that? So how do we tap into what's ours? It's hard for me to separate any of this. You know, I've been asking God for new ways to show you, new ways of teaching healing, so that you can operate it in your life. You know, this Lord, show me. Show me. You know, some of you, I lay awake at night, not worrying, just praying over you and thanking God and asking God to help you to get free. Hallelujah. God gave Solomon great wisdom and understanding. And if he gave it to Solomon, can I get it too? If it's in this word, can I meditate it long enough till it'll manifest in my life? He may never call me the smartest and the most wise person in the world, but I'm going to tell you something. The longer you live here, the smarter you get. The longer you walk with God, the more wisdom you get. Hallelujah. God's wisdom will show you what needs to happen in your life for the manifestation of the healing to come. So if you like, ask God, you know, if you like wisdom, just ask God. He said he'd give it to you. He said he'd give it to you liberally. And the King James says, upbraideth not. We don't talk like that anymore. But anyway, he's not going to get on you for asking, okay? Do you realize that David got the plans for the temple from God? He was just a shepherd boy. But as he worshiped and praised the Lord out there in the field, God gave him not just spiritual wisdom, but wisdom about building. You know, about amassing great wealth, about winning battles. Hallelujah. God can give you wisdom about everyday life. You understand that? You don't have to worry that you don't know it. Glory, you know, people say, I just don't know about that. Yeah, you do. You just don't know you do. Because the Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Spirit's in there and he knows everything. So you just got to tap into that wisdom. If David could get out there and sing and worship and get plans to build a temple, get plans on how to become a mighty warrior. Get plans about amassing great wealth. You know, he amassed great wealth because he left his son great wealth to build this temple. Oh, glory to God, people. We have a new and better covenant established on new and better promises. Tap into it. Hallelujah. Well, I tapped. Nothing happened. You're just a big pillar of strength, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. If you got to knock the door down. Hallelujah. You know, the Syrophoenician woman, she just wouldn't quit. Hallelujah. He called her dog. He'd just done everything. She wouldn't quit. I'm not leaving here. I heard a guy say this week that he got in a room. He said, Lord, I'm not leaving here till I speak in tongues. And then the power of God come on him and he began to speak in tongues. You got to get enough. Get fed up. Hallelujah. When you get fed up, glory to God. Whew. You know, I told you, when a lion is bold, and Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That lion is bold. Hallelujah. When he sees something bigger than him, he don't think elephant, he thinks dinner. Some of you need to think, whoo, glory. I mean, come on, hallelujah. Praise God. As you worship God and you come near him, his presence will rub off on you. You know what? You can tell people who've been with the Lord. You can. They don't have to come up and say, I've been with the Lord. Do you know, I spent all afternoon with the Lord. Well, I mean, people will tell there's something. People will be drawn to you because you got something about you, because you got the word abiding richly in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, your years will be full of life. Worship ushers you into the manifest presence of God. The glory of God will come on you and you'll know some things. I'm going to tell you something. As you worship the Lord and you get in his presence and just get your mind on him and don't come for anything, just want to tell him how much you love him. Just begin to worship him. You'll know some things you didn't know. I mean, he'll drop some answers you've been asking for months. Ooh, glory. Isn't that good? You getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Well, shake your head, shake a bush, something. You know, let me know you're getting this. Hallelujah. Proverbs 9:10 says, the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. For by me, wisdom from God, your days will be multiplied and the years of your life will be increased. Is that talking about getting healing? Come on, is it? I mean, if you don't get some healing, you're going to die. Glory to God. I mean, all of us, one day, people say, well, now, Pastor, and they get this religious thing, you know. Their voice drops about 4 octaves, and they begin to, you know, act like they're going to throw up. How are you ever going to die if you don't get sick? Well, bless God, I'll tell you. God can just take your breath. You can lay down and go to sleep and be one breath here and the next one over there. If you breathe over there, I don't know what you do over there, but glory to God, I'll find out when I get there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whew, hallelujah. It said there, your days shall be multiplied and the years of your life shall be increased when you begin to worship the Lord. The fearful, that's not being afraid God's going to strike you dead or, you know, I hear people saying all the time, God's going to get you. God don't get you. Okay. Hallelujah. But see, that worship of fear of the Lord, that awe of God. Oh, I worship you, Father. Oh, glory. I can feel the power of God's up here so strong. It's like you could just fall down. Hallelujah. But your years will be full of life. Not just long life, but full of life. Hallelujah. See, there's no point in living long if you're miserable. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of him. It's the worship of the Lord. Jesus said the fear of the Lord is the worship of the Lord. As you worship the Lord, you'll get knowledge and wisdom of God. It looks to me like the more you worship God, the healthier you'll be. Think so? Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 says, verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but be as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that great? How are you going to do that if you don't get in the Word? Do you see that we should be walking in the wisdom of God and knowing what he wants for us and you know, of us. You see that? Jesus brought us from the slave market of condemnation and sin so we can be wise and know what the will of God is, not waste our time. And then in verse 18, he said, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Ooh, stimulate. Glory. Speak one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. See, the way we allow the Spirit to fill us is to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Some of you are making some stuff in your heart, but it ain't melody. Get up singing to the Lord. Sing in the Spirit. When you're making music in your heart to the Lord, you'll not be unwise. You know, you'll understand what the will of God is. I love that. Hallelujah. See, it'll take the stress out of your life. Sing in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And when you get the stress off your life, you're going to be healthier. Your body wasn't made to live under all that stress. When you're stressed, I read that your lymph nodes fill up and they swell up. Your adrenal glands get bigger and they'll get so big that they just quit working. Your hypothalamus gets all out of whack. Shock and trauma will do the same thing. The more you stay in worship and the more you keep strife out of your life, the healthier your body will be. There's something powerful about music from the Lord. Scientists say that there's a powerful benefit in listening to the higher forms of music. I'm not talking about hard rock or this hardcore music, but they've done studies on cows, and I heard this, where they took these bunch of cows and they put one on one side and one on the other, and they played Bach and Beethoven to the one cows, and they played hard rock to the other cows. And the ones that they played the heavy metal to, they dried up and didn't give any milk. But the ones that they played the soothing music to gave milk like crazy. Hallelujah. If that'll work on a cow, it'll surely work on me. Hallelujah. They did another study, and I think it was England, where they put potted plants in a room with speakers. And in one room, they had, you know, the plants over here, and they had this blaring rock music. And in the other room, they put, soothing music. Now, if they can do this with Bach and Beethoven, what do you think we can do with worship music, anointed music? Anyway, they said they left them for 2 hours, and when they come back, the plants were all leaning away from the music that was hard, but they were leaning toward the worship music. See, the world has not experimented with anointed music, praise and worship music. But if classical music enhances your child's learning ability, can you see what playing anointed music would do? There was an experiment in Russia on two types of kids. They took the same age and about the same like temperament, and they got kids as much alike as they could find them. And they were trying to find out how to enhance their learning skills. And they took them the same age, same IQ, all that, and they put them, they were going to give them a test. But an hour before the test, they sent one group in to restudy, you know, just look over, rehearse. But they took the other group in and just played soft music to them. When the test results come out, the ones who listened to the music scored higher than the ones who did not. When the mind is relaxed through music, the ability to recall things come back faster. Studies show that the less you think, the more creative you become. Now, I'm not talking about duh. I'm not talking about that. I mean people who are relaxed and they're not analyzing all the time. You know, why this and why that and questioning everything. They're willing to enjoy what they don't understand. See, brain surgeons have found out we got two parts to the brain. Now, I looked all this up, you know. We got a left brain and a right brain. Isn't that great? And I know I got a brain. I tell you, I know I got one, because when I was about 8 years old, they told me I had a brain tumor. Well, you got to have a brain to have a tumor on it. God heal me. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. You got you got a left brain and a right brain, so you really got two brains. Hallelujah. I love this. Anyway, I always tell you, you know, don't leave your brain at the door. You know, well, don't leave your brains at the door. Go back and get both of them. But your brain is not to dominate you. There's two sides of your brain. There's the left brain and the right brain. Your left brain controls your right side of your body, and your right brain controls the left side of your body. You know, people who have strokes, and if it paralyzes this side, or if they have the damage done on this side, then it paralyzes this side of your body. Heart attacks, you know, they always say that, you know, you hurt down one arm or the other. Anyway, people who are left brain, they're real analytical. The Greek word for this is, I'm going to try to pronounce it for you. It's I'm not going to. Okay. The right side of your brain is called dianoia. And that's the more creative one. That's, you know, where you create and you're really a thinker and a dreamer. And that's the part where people who worry, they say, are left-brained. Most people are left-brained. A study showed that 90% of the people are left-brained. They worry. Musicians and artists are not always right-brained. Most are left-brained. They're real logical. God wants to activate your right brain. He does, or your left brain. He wants to get your left brain. See, kids are creative and balanced, and they dream and they imagine and they see things. But as they grow up, our educational system is very, you know, it's like deductive. You know, they teach you to analyze things instead of imagining things. Even teachers will tell kids, don't dream. Stop daydreaming. And you know what? And you know what? Because of the spirit of wisdom operates through your right brain, and I can show you that. In Ephesians 1:17, it says, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He grant to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and insight in the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light." King James says the eyes of your understanding, so that you can know and understand and hope to which He has called you, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. Now tonight I'm not preaching, I'm just teaching you. Are you getting anything out of it? Well, that's pretty weak. I'm teaching the best I know how. Come on, people. Eyes are used to see with. The Greek word for understanding is dianoia, right brain. Hallelujah. We need to begin to use our right brain. Hallelujah. When the spirit of wisdom is given to you, your imagination will begin to see. You know, you can see a bright future. You can see provision. You can see a healed body. Jesus told us not to worry with that left brain. Hallelujah. Your eyes become full of light and you begin to see what God wants for you. Hallelujah. Sometimes when I pray for people, I can see things. You know, I don't see them by analyzing it. I just see things. I know things. See, if you can see it, you can have it. Never tell your kids to stop dreaming. We let the world and the cults and the New Agers steal what God gave us is a tool to receive from. You know, we talk meditate, and the world says, oh, don't meditate. Or the church tells you, you know, stop that. That's New Age. Don't daydream. Don't dream. I heard once that Thomas Edison was a poor student, but he was a dreamer. And look what he did. Hallelujah. See, do you know that one of the most powerful tools that we can use to activate our right brain is to pray in tongues? Scientists say that we're only using 1/10 of our brains. Some people use less. I'm sorry. 9/10 of your brain has never been used. But the more you pray in tongues, the more you activate both sides of your brain. Your mind will come alive. Music also activates that right part of your brain, the right kind of music. Hallelujah. See, I don't particularly like classical music, but studies have shown that it soothes your brain and enhances your learning abilities. The world rates music on a scale of, you know, that what's best to inspire. Normal music is considered the ABCs of music. Beethoven and Bach is considered university, a deeper language. You say, now, why do I need to know this? Well, you know what? If you can get a hold of this, it's going to help you. It'll help you get healed. You understand? Do you realize that music has the ability to set your mood? Listen, you don't want to listen to some of that hillbilly stuff if you're depressed already. You know, my wife, my dog left me, and I got to hang a pork chop around my neck to get the dog to play with me. You know, I mean, come on. People listen to this stuff. Don't be surprised when you end up depressed. You know, if you listen to junk. The Bible says, by sorrow of the heart, a spirit is broken. And a broken spirit dries the bones, and a merry heart does good like medicine. Having melody in your heart will cause your whole body to come alive. Hallelujah. See, in a study done to find out what effect music could have on your brain, they found that good music has a good psychological benefit on your blood pressure, your stress level, your all-over health. They are using music to bring down stress levels in people. They also said, I read it or something, where they put a bunch of clocks, like grandfather clocks that have the pendulum, and they put like 50 clocks in one room, and they started them all at different times, so they were swinging all different. And when they came back in 2 hours, they were all swinging alike. I thought, hallelujah. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Glory. You know, can you think what would happen? See, that harmony would bring your system back into rhythm. I mean, if your system is all out of whack, no wonder you get sick. But you know what? Just think of those clocks and just get it all back into rhythm and let it all flow together. They did a personality profile on people subject to cancer and disease. And people with a certain kind of personality, the ones that were more melancholy and sad and down and depressed, were more subject to disease, and especially cancer. People prone to cancer, in a lot of cases, have very depressed personalities. They found that people who have a bubbly personality don't usually get sick with cancer. Hallelujah. I don't get worried if you've been down. You're going to get up. That's what I'm here for. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not saying that these people have no troubles. We all have some trouble, but a merry heart does good like a medicine. And if you'll learn to, I mean, what are you sad about anyway? Glory to God. You know, I know clinical depression, you know, you'll just get sad and have no reason, they say. But honey, it's my choice. And I intend to enjoy this life. And so if God told me to be happy and he said he gave me peace, and I'll just reach out and get some of it. Hallelujah. Act like you're happy. Bless God. You know, if you want joy, jump for it. Hallelujah. Oh, that embarrassed me. Go down the basement and jump. Hallelujah. You can see I'm not embarrassed easily. I'm out there in the parking lot hollering at the storm. Things don't embarrass me. Let me tell you something neat. I was down at South Campus, and they were going to have their block party. And Scott said to me, I mean, it's raining when I got there. And that was like, they were going to start at 11. And he told me, he said, Mom, we got to start setting up. And he said, I don't know whether to set up outside or to set up inside. He said, because I don't know what it's going to do. So these guys were all sitting out in the front on the porch watching it rain. And they had a little boy with him. And so I went out there and I said, get up. They all got up. I just thought, well, who are you? But they got up. And I said, now turn toward that storm. So they did. And I said, point your finger to the cloud and tell it to stop raining. And they did, and it stopped. And they had their block party. Hallelujah. Come on. We have some authority, don't we? Hallelujah. Now, you say, I can never do that. Well, you know what? You don't have to act like I do. But bless God, I'd ask you to just get a little bit of... get up and go. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, don't let your get up and go get up and went. You know, some people say, my get up and go got up and went. Well, call it back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And are you putting all this all together? See, listen to me. I'm not judging you, your personality. And if you've had cancer or have had it or have it, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, I'm just reporting what the test showed, okay? Don't allow yourself to go into deep grieving for too long. You'll get pick up a spirit of grief. You know, people say they can't help it, but you're going to have to take the things God says about it. He said he bore your grief and carried your sorrow. People have said to me, I know that. I know that. I know it says that, but I can't help this. Yeah, we can. We have to determine to die to self and say what he says about us, you know? And it's not easy losing some people. And, you know, when a person loses a husband or a wife or a child, that's terrible. But God still said he bore our grief and carried our sorrow. People tell you they can't help it, but you got to take what God says about it. And I know it's not easy, but if we're to live an abundant life that God intended, we're going to have to go that route. We're going to have to stop going by what we feel. Proverbs 17:22 in the Amplified says, a merry heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. Now, how are you going to get a cheerful mind? Read the Word. Read about heaven. Hallelujah. If you don't like this life, glory to God, we're going to have a better one. But I think there's some stuff for here. Hallelujah. Look at the message. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. That's what the Amplified says. You know, there's some people you wouldn't dare ask how they are because you don't have all day to listen to them tell you. You know? New Living says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. A broken spirit will give you arthritis. It'll dry up your bones. Hallelujah. When you worship God, it'll be health to your navel, moistening to your bones. Hallelujah. You'll never suffer from osteoporosis or rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis. All those diseases are because your bones are dried. That's what they say when you have arthritis. And if you got arthritis, don't come up to me afterwards. I'm not judging. I'm telling you how to get out of this stuff, okay? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes stuff tries to get on me, but I won't let it. Hallelujah. You tumor, you think you're going to live on me? Absolutely not, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You cyst or you knot or bump or whatever, you ain't living on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But they say when when you have arthritis, it's because it gets dry between your joints and that dries up. Osteoporosis, your bones dry out and they get very brittle. We want to have good fat bones. That's the only thing I want. Fat. I don't want nothing else fat, but I want fat bones. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when you worship God, it'll be health to your navel and moistening to your bones. That's what the Word says. Glory to God. A sad spirit will dry up your bones. Remember that when you get down on a day. Just get yourself up. Get in there and play yourself some worship music. Listen to what Jesus did for you. Hallelujah. Begin to worship Him and thank Him because He came to earth, gave His life, died for you. Hallelujah. And didn't stay dead, but He come back to enforce the will. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. That was not an easy thing. You think He couldn't have been sad and depressed and thought, I don't want to do this? Hallelujah. Well, bless God, He did it for us. Hallelujah. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Glory to God. You know, you want some medicine? I heard about this guy, and if I could think of his name, you'd know who he was. He was an actor, and he lived in New York. And he went to the doctor and they told him he had cancer and he only had like 3 weeks to live. So he thought, well, if I'm going out, I'm going out laughing. So he went and got him some Laurel Hardy and Amos and Andy. And I mean, he got all kinds of these funny things. And he began to watch them. I Love Lucy. And he began to watch them and laugh. And he laughed and he laughed and he laughed. And when he went back to the doctor, they couldn't find one side of cancer in him. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Hallelujah. Bless God, but you got to make up your mind. You know, sometimes when you get down, you think, well, it just feels good to stay there a little bit. Anybody ever been there? Have a pity party. Tell the devil he can come in and stay 5 minutes. Have one cup of tea, but you got to leave after that. Well, then he won't leave. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel, I think it's 16. Let me look here. 17. No, it's 2 Samuel, I'm sure, 16:23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God, and it wasn't the evil spirit from God, God allowed this thing, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Do you see that the evil spirit did not depart until he was well? When Saul was refreshed and well, the evil spirit couldn't stay on him. I'd never seen that before. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. When you get full of the Spirit, and you get to be praising the Lord, I'm telling you, and you just begin to start praising Him and loving on Jesus, the devil cannot stay around you. Demons will have to get up and go because they can't stand you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil can't stand me. Hallelujah. I don't like him much either, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, do you see that when Saul would have this evil spirit come on him, and he opened the door for that thing with his attitude and some of the things he did, they would call David to come and play his harp. And when he played, that evil spirit would leave him. Hallelujah. See, what helped him be refreshed and well was this music. The moment your inner man is in sync with God, you'll feel peaceful, and the evil spirits will have to leave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you get right thinking, you're going to feel refreshed and whole. Don't allow your family to listen to junk. No wonder they're troubled. My goodness, I go in some houses and see what they're watching on TV, and I think, hey, no wonder, you know, their family's a mess. Music and praise enhances the flow of God in your life. Hallelujah. You know, Psalms 22 is a psalm that Jesus probably spoke on the cross. It says, speaking to yourself in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. That's probably what Jesus did. That's probably how he can endure that cross. He began to speak to himself. Some commentaries say that Jesus spoke Psalms 22 on the cross. Read the whole thing sometimes. But it starts out, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, and they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. He starts out with, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he ends up saying, for he has done this. In other words, it's finished. Hallelujah. I believe that pain and suffering can be alleviated. Just go. I've heard people say they get in and begin to listen to anointed music and the pain would leave them. The Word will do that. God didn't leave us here to be kicked around, you understand? He left us here to live healthy and holy and happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even through a storm, we can come through it. Begin to sing to yourself as you go through the day. Listen to worship music. And get some, you know what? Man, I love it. I love living in this time because we got music now that's not some of that. I won't have to worry anymore when I get to heaven and junk. Build me a cabin in the corner of glory land, and somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus. Isn't that garbage? Hallelujah. We live in a day when they're singing songs right out of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, get you some inspired music. And begin to love your life. You say, well, you don't know what kind of life I've got. Well, honey, you know what? If you're believing for a new car, and you don't keep the one you got clean, don't you say a word. Hallelujah. I don't want to hear him say amen. Sometimes my car looks like I live in it. But if you're believing for a new house and you don't keep the one you got clean, if you don't take care of what you got, you know what? We need to begin to take care of what we got and be satisfied with where you are. I'm not talking about satisfied to the point where you don't believe for something bigger. I'm just talking about rejoice where you are. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You're not married? Well, thank God. You know, I'm going to get a husband someday. Boy, you got the one for me, Father. And begin to be, Lord, I'll use this time to get closer to you. Hallelujah. And begin you make your plans like it's going to change, but be satisfied right where you are. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand that? If you're worrying and carrying on about where you are, I'm telling you, you're not going to get moved very fast. But when you begin to enjoy life, people will be drawn to you. How many of you like to stay around somebody that's so depressed and always nagging around and griping about this and that and being mad at others because they're blessed? You don't like that. But hallelujah, begin to rejoice where you are. God's going to move you up. Hallelujah. I serve a God who's able. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when I talked about Bach and Mozart and some of those, you know, Handel's Messiah, I mean, that was written, that came with the Reformation, and it brought forth a creative period, and people become inventors after that. See, these men were men of God who wrote some of these songs. I don't understand some of that. I'm not going to tell you I like it, but it's peaceful. Hallelujah. And I can learn to like it, you know. And the anointed worship, I love it. Hallelujah. And we can on purpose walk in that realm. If we'll begin to worship and sing, play peaceful music, build for yourself a cocoon of peace right where you are. Build for yourself a cocoon of peace. And you do that by just learning to enjoy the presence of God. See, people may take everything else you got away from you. They might put you in prison, but they can never take, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. They can never take the presence of God from me. I got him. He promised never to leave me. And I can worship him, and I can, I mean, even if you don't have a CD player around, you can begin to hum and sing. You say, oh, I don't sing pretty. I don't sing too pretty either, but bless God, God likes it. He likes it. Hallelujah. You don't make him mad when you begin to sing to him. He loves it. Hallelujah. I remember when my kids are babies, you know, and you'd sing to them, they liked it. Oh, they snuggle up and go to sleep when you sing to them. Roy goes to sleep, just get me to quit. I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Bless God. I know that was a little different than what I usually do, but I just begin to look up some things, and I just know that that's the key to our walking in health, is if we'll begin to calm ourselves down like those clocks in the room and get in sync with God and begin to just let our body begin to flow and keep yourself out of strife as much as possible. I know there's going to be times that come when it's going to come, but we can get ourselves right back into sink as we begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand? Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do. And I thank you, God, that you will take my efforts tonight and cause it to build in people's lives and cause it to help them, Father. Lord God, let them see that you are the great God, Jehovah, and God, that you want them to walk in peace and in tranquility and not to be all out of sync all the time, Father, and in strife and angry, God, in Jesus' name. And I just take authority over those angry spirits that would try to rise up in you. In Jesus' name, religious spirits that try to keep you out of what God wants for you. I just come against that in Jesus' name. I call you alive and whole. And I call you to learn to worship. I just speak that over you, that you're going to learn to worship. And you're going to learn to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you're going to make melody in your heart to the Lord. And I call you a healthy bunch. I call disease. I say you can't live on this much. Hallelujah. Depression, I say you're a thing of the past. You're not coming in here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call that depression out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom. I call wisdom into these. I say everyone in here is wise beyond their years. They hear the voice of God. They meditate and they get revelation out of the word just every time they pick that word up. And I declare that over them. And God, I take authority over autism and other diseases that would try to come on our people. Father, show us. Show us, God. And Lord, we sang that song, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And God, these things have to bow their knee when they come into the presence of Almighty God.